Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Hey, we're going to get directly into the Word of God. I'm not going to keep you here too long, but I want to speak to you part two of last week's message. How many enjoyed last week's message? Amen. So, before we get into the Word, I want to give you a quick kind of going over what we went on last week. So last week we talked about moving forward, and I talked to the church about sometimes before you can move forward, you got to first choose to move on. And we talked about overcoming past hurts and building lifelong relationships. Last week I discussed that today we are the most connected we have ever been in the world, yet we have the highest rates of depression and suicide rates the world has ever seen. Today, people live isolated. Today, people would rather live alone than to connect with other people. And God didn't create us to walk through this life alone, right? And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, and I'll read it to you. We're not going to preach on this today. This is what we spoke on last week, but I want to use it as a springboard for the message we're going to talk about today. Ecclesiastes 4, 8, and 10 says, "There was a man all alone." Someone say all alone. "He had neither son nor brother, and there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth." So in other words, he had everything, but he was alone. And says, "For whom am I toiling?" he asked, "and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. I need you. Holy Spirit, do heart surgery this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you look at this scripture, like I mentioned last week, here you have a man who is probably towards the end of his life, and he has an aha moment. He is a hardworking man. He has all things, but the Bible tells us that, one, he was alone, and then he has this epiphany that although he had everything, he started to feel unfulfilled, and he asks the question, "Why am I depriving myself from enjoyment, and who am I working for?" And he goes on to say that two are better than one, and he comes to an understanding that being alone was not meant to be. Being alone is not what God intended for you and I. And what I want to do is talk to you for the next few moments about building relationships according to the Bible. Amen. Because have you ever been that way where maybe you feel all alone? Have you ever felt like people don't understand you and you feel like you're in a fight all by yourself? Well, this morning I came here to tell you that if you feel like that, you have a church family that is here and that will pray for you and that will walk with you. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to talk about you. Like my father said, we are a spiritual hospital that is looking for the sick. We believe in healing. We believe in God reuniting family. We believe that God can take a broken heart and make it whole again. But I'm going to know that if the church is going to function and operate the way God intended it to, we have to have a biblical understanding of what it means to build a relationship according to the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, and I'm going to get right into it. Because the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5, and I'm going to challenge you to go home and study this for yourself, because if you look at the foundation for biblical relationships, it's found in these scriptures, and this is what we're going to go through this morning. I went through it last week briefly, but I want to dive in, and I want to talk to you about some things. I want to talk to you about toxic relationships. I want to talk to you about the relationships that aren't good for you. I want to talk to you about the relationships that sometimes we don't even know is toxic, and that we keep certain friends around because of guilt. Have you ever been there before? right? Well, this morning we're going to expose some things, and we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about building godly relationships. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." And here's the key. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. This morning, I want to give you four foundational pillars that you can build your relationships on. Are you ready? Number one, in order to build a healthy, godly relationship, you have to come to agreements. Someone say agreements. And we know this because in Philippians chapter 2, listen to the theme or the things that align itself. It says, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit. Here the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to a church that was growing in number, and he begins to address the way they interact with each other. And he was telling them because what you have to understand about what was happening in the Bible during this time, the Philippian church was growing, and the Philippian church was starting to be influenced by the outside. So here he begins to address the congregation, and he begins to talk to them about how they interact with one another. And he tells them that if you have any love, if you have any compassion, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. And what we see here is when he talks about having the same spirit and same love, what he's talking about is coming to agreements. Whether you know it or not, the relationships that you have within your life, you either have come to agreements or you have naturally grown into them, and you have set boundaries on what your relationships look like. Whether we know it or not, we set boundaries that keep us from getting hurt. And in order for relationships to work, listen to me, you have to come to common ground. Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together with agreement without agreeing on the same direction? You know what's interesting about that scripture? When you look up the word together, that word means union or unitedness. And it has to do when two people are walking within the same direction. And what you have to understand about relationships is there is power in agreement. You know what agreements do for you in your relationships? They set boundaries that will eventually protect you from being taken advantage of. Now, this is where it's going to get good a little bit. This is where we're going to talk about some things. When relationships don't have boundaries, listen to me. When relationships do not have boundaries, and if we fail to set boundaries, when we see any sign of dysfunction over time, that relationship will grow unhealthy and even toxic. And what you have to understand is most people today, they're non-confrontational. They don't like confrontation. So sometimes they become victims of toxic relationships because they're unwilling to speak up and address dysfunction. Are you hearing me this morning? When relationships do not have boundaries, or when we fail to set boundaries, when we see the first sign of dysfunction, we run the risk of our relationships growing toxic. Now, what is a toxic relationship? Toxic relationship is often characterized by repeated mutual destructive modes of relating between two people. Follow me. These patterns include jealousy, possessiveness, dominance, manipulation, desperation, selfishness, and rejection. Toxic and dysfunctional relationships are real. And let me tell you something that's scary. Did you know toxic relationships even grow in the church? I hate to say it, but it's true. Sometimes we can have toxic relationships where our relationships are founded on possessiveness, dominance, manipulation, jealousy, self-centeredness, and sometimes rejection. Are you hearing me this morning? You know, toxic relationships begin when people do not speak up when boundaries are crossed. Listen to me this morning. Toxic relationships begin when people do not speak up when boundaries are crossed. And like I mentioned earlier, we're living in a time where most people are non-confrontational. And when they experience unhealthy patterns in their relationships, they would much rather remove themselves from the situation instead of dealing with the dysfunction. And this in the church is what I like to call sloppy agape. It's where I like to call sloppy relationships. Why don't we want to address things? Well, there's two reasons and two extremes. There are some people, they're like, well, you disrespected me and you said some things about me. And let me tell you, it's in your best interest that I don't respond because I might punch you in the face. The reason I didn't say anything, Pastor, is because you don't understand. I'm not good with words. I'm not good with my emotions. Mess with me. I'll mess with you and your whole family. And those are crazy people. Those are the people you got to be careful with. Those that don't, are you hearing me? Then you got the other extreme of people that they're not the type of people that will punch you in the face. They just don't say anything because they don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. They don't want to say anything because they don't want confrontation. And as a result, they act like possessiveness, jealousy, and manipulation and rudeness is not a part of the relationship. So what they do is they remove themselves from the situation. And they, instead of connecting with you, they now avoid you. And understand this, just because you remove yourself from a relationship doesn't mean you're curing it. You're adding to the dysfunction. Especially within the church. If your passion is to build a church that functions out of the love of God, it is in your best interest to learn confrontation. It's in your best interest to learn how to resolve conflict according to God, because you are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. Are you hearing me? Like I said, toxic relationships begin when people do not speak up when boundaries are crossed. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, Pastor? Am I just supposed to be confrontational? Am I just supposed to let people know that they're all messed up? No, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to develop a spiritual backbone where you're not afraid to speak truth. And listen, at the end of the day, I've come to the conclusion, not everyone's going to like me. Hey, I'm the pastor. Not everyone likes me. I'm okay with that. But I'd rather love you to heaven than lie to you all the way to hell. I'd rather step on your toes and tell you some truth. I'd rather tell you the realities of what you're dealing with. I'd rather tell you about the honesty of what's happening within your family, because I have seen something, not through judgment, but through prayer and through honest interest in caring for your family. I would rather tell you the truth and have you get mad at me for speaking godly wisdom than just tickle your ears with a good message on Sunday morning to make you feel better about yourself. Listen, we got to grow spiritual backbones. I'm not saying that you go around at your job and even in the church acting like you're holier than thou. I don't want Pharisees in the church. But what I do expect, that when you know something is wrong and you're a part of it, you should learn to show slight disapproval so we don't create this crazy, funky culture with, yes, I said funky culture within the church, where we just turn the blind eye or we turn the deaf ear. We act like we didn't hear gossip. Listen, wait a minute. That's my friend too. You're talking about somebody that I care about. Wait a minute. You shouldn't be saying that. Have you talked to them? I said this last week. Like, if you, and I did that. Remember, Brother Kenny, I don't know if you remember, when I first took over the church, I had two of the main leaders. I took over the church. One of them came and started gossiping before service about the other brother. And then during worship, the other starts telling me about the other brother. You know what I did? I said, hey, brother, can you do me a favor? Hey, can you meet me upstairs in 5 minutes? Great. He's all okay. So he's, hey, get this ready. I want to talk to you for a second. I want to share with you something. And then after I told the other brother, I went down and said, hey, can you come with me for a second? I said, hey, let's go upstairs real quick. And then the other brother was sitting there, and then he walked in, and I said, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you tell him what you told me earlier, and can you tell him what you told me during worship? They got mad at me, and they eventually left. What was I doing? Was I putting them on blast? Was I being a snitch? No. I was developing culture and being my brother's keeper and letting them know, and listen, that's not okay. It's not okay for you to be a leader and talk about somebody else. It's not okay for you to act like something is wrong and sweep it under the rug and try to bring it to the pastor. Are you hearing me? In my eyes, boundaries were crossed. And if I didn't deal with it, it would become the culture of the church. Are you hearing me? The reason we're speaking about messages like this and going deeper is because we want to build a culture that glorifies God. We don't want perfect people. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for willing, broken vessels that are willing to lay down their lives for the sake of reaching other families and showing them the way to heaven. I thank God that there were people in my city that ministered to my father when he was broken. I thank God that they weren't so preoccupied with what they were going to eat after lunch that they seen a man that was broken and they said, hey, this is my opportunity. Let me minister to him in his need. Let me minister to him in his brokenness. Little did they know that, you know, and I did that recently. There were people that impacted our family who, when I went back, I took Brother Ever, we went down to visit my old church, and I ran into certain people. They're not main leaders in the church, but they prayed for my life. And I went up to them and I said, I want to thank you for praying for me. Because I remember when I was a broken young man. I remember when I used to walk in here cussing and smelling. Come on, somebody. And I remember when I was all mad at everyone, but you were nice to me and you prayed for me and you would always tell me what I was going to do. You would always tell me that one day I was going to preach the gospel. I want you to know that right now we have a church in Tacoma and we're ministering to people, and I want to thank you for believing in me and not judging me. What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about an inclusive culture where we base our relationships on godly agreements and godly boundaries. Are you hearing me? This is a perfect reason why you cannot just be friends with everyone. Not everyone is going in the same direction as you. Now this brings up, well, Pastor Eric, well, what are you talking about? We're supposed to love everyone. We're not supposed to give up on anybody. You're the pastor. You can't just give up on friends. No, I can't. But the Bible says I don't got to be a fool and put up with dysfunction. Are you hearing me? This year, I set some strong boundaries in my relationships, because the truth is, we live in a world of takers. And if we're not careful, people will suck you dry and never put anything back into you. And you got to learn to speak up when boundaries are crossed. Someone say amen or am I? Is this helping you? Let me explain what I mean by that. I love everybody. I have friends right now that I know aren't doing good, and I'll be there for them in the drop. They call me, I will be there. But I will also draw a thick boundary line and tell them that I can't be around certain things. God wants us to love everybody, but he also wants us to set boundaries. How do I know this? Let me read you some scriptures that teach us this. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Make no friendship with the man given to anger, nor go with the wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And this is my favorite one when it comes to dysfunction and discord. James 3, 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder, in other words, dysfunction in every vile practice. Are you hearing me? So you got to learn to speak up when people are taking advantage of you. Don't be a victim. And I'm not saying be all emotional and all crazy and tell somebody off, but you got to learn to speak up. Why? Because you are a child of the Most High God. Listen, we're Christians, but we're not doormats. We're not doormats. We are children of the Most High God. And I say that because sometimes we want relationships. Jealousy is very real, right? Manipulation is very real. And sometimes, because we don't want to lose, we like to control our relationships. Are you hearing me? you know what boundaries do for you in your relationships? It cultivates unity. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes boundaries will separate. And you got to be okay with it. You got to be okay with it. There's been some friends I've had to walk away from, or maybe we didn't have agreements. But I've always been a person that I don't want to leave things in a bad light. Very few. I've had a few where it didn't end good, but very few. And even the ones that ended wrong, I'm still praying, God, would you heal my heart? God, would you heal that? Can we one day mend? Because I can't stay hurt. I can't stay offended. You know why? Because eventually you'll have to pay the price and it's not fair to you. Are you hearing me? Number one, like I said, in order to build strong relationships, you have to come to agreements. That's why the Apostle Paul said, if any common sharing in spirit, in any tent, in other words, what he was saying, he said, listen, if you say you believe in Christ, if you say you believe in our Lord, he said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit. And I would dare to say this. Sometimes when we come in, we come broke. Like when I came in, I'm going to tell you straight up. I came in twisted. I don't even want to tell you what I was thinking. But I met some friends within the church, and I ain't gonna lie, we connected. And we didn't connect about growing in the Lord. I even hung out with them. Don't get mad at me, but I even went to the club with them. I drank with them. I got high with them. Remember, I didn't get saved right away. Right? But you know what I had to do as I grew a conviction for the Lord? I remember there was a specific two people that I connected with, and we went out. But as God started doing a work in my life, you know what I had to do with them? I had to reset boundaries in my relationship. And I said, hey, listen, I know that's how we met, and I know we did this, but God is doing a work in my heart. I can't do that anymore. I want to be a man of God, and I want to chase the calling for my life. And you know what it did? It separated us because we weren't in agreement anymore. And at the end of the day, I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't spiteful towards them. But I loved my father more than I loved the enjoyment of their company in my sin. And as a result, I had to change the direction of our relationship. You got to be, that's when I say develop a spiritual backbone, be a man. Say what you believe. Don't let this world make you sheepish. I don't mean to be all strong, but it's kind of funny to me. Somebody told me that one time. That's why I laughed. They said, Eric, be a man. You think you get rebuked. I got rebuked. But anyways, number two. So number one, if you're going to build godly relationships, you gotta have biblical agreements. Number two, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And I love the King James Version because it said, do nothing out of vain glory. That's heavy. Because vain has to do with self. And you know what it means to be selfish? Devoted or caring for oneself, primarily concerned with one's own interest and the benefits of welfare of me. And the world builds relationships on what can you do for me and how you make me feel will really determine how close we are. But listen to me. As long as those two things are in order, relationships are good. But the Apostle Paul was addressing that mindset. He was telling them, No, that's not how you are supposed to be. Philippians chapter 2:21, he says, for everyone looks out for their own interests, but not those of Christ Jesus. We can't be people that have ulterior motives and look to take from other people if we're not willing to give back. Are you hearing me? We as Christians, we as followers of Jesus Christ, need not base our relationships on selfish ambition with how you make me feel. Because those relationships are wishy-washy and fickle and will break at the drop of first confrontation. No, we as believers, listen to me. We build our relationships based on the Word of God. We need to follow the example of our Savior. What did he say in Philippians 2:4? Let each of you look out not only for the interest of others, but also for the interest of your own interest, but the interest of others. And this scripture, I think, this next one I'm going to read to you, I want to say this to this church. Again, we're going deeper and we're dealing with some things because I want to change the culture with how we interact. God forbid that, what in the world? Sorry.
What's a screwdriver doing up here, bro?
I'm sorry. Somebody say squirrel. Your pastor has that. If you don't know, amen, pray for me. This is what I want to say to the church. I want to change the way we interact with each other, because I think that sometimes we can pretend to love each other and really not love each other. This was real in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 in the New Living Translation says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. In other words, don't be superficial. Be honest. Someone say, be honest. Be honest. And here's the boundary. Listen to the wording. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Here's the boundary. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of what is good. Are you hearing me this morning? Again, we're talking about building right, long-lasting relationships. There's nothing more impactful than taking interest in someone else's life. How do we do this? We got to take genuine interest in each other. We got to do that, church. Not try to change each other, but take genuine interest. Get into other people's lives, not because we want something from them, but we simply want to enjoy their company and we want to see them succeed. Are you hearing me? Number three, and I'll be coming to a close in the next 5 minutes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is three. If you're going to build long-lasting relationships, you got to value others above yourself. Someone say value. Value. The King James Version says you got to esteem others above yourself. You know what's heavy about that word esteem? The word esteem in this scripture is actually a leadership term, which means to go before, to rule, and to have authority. In other words, what he was telling the church is you have to have an attitude of a leader where you put people above yourself. And that is a true statement for genuine leadership. We don't need leaders that look godly. We need leaders that put people ahead of themselves. We need leaders that are willing to sacrifice their needs sometimes for the sake of meeting someone else's need in faith. Are you hearing me? Don't just value others because they bring you good feelings. You got to learn to value them for them. Like me and my wife have said this to you, we're not trying to change you. I'm not trying to make cookie cutter disciples. What I want to change are some of your moral beliefs and some of your moral characteristics, but I'm not trying to change your personality. I think that's what makes us strong as a church. The fact that we have people from all walks of life, what we're asking you to do is be more godly. Listen, if you're a nut, stay a nut. I'm still crazy, and I'm okay with it because that's who I am, and I feel certain people identify with that. But there's others, you're not like that, and it's okay. You don't have to be like me, but like he said in the Bible, if we're in the same spirit and the same love, make my joy complete by being like-minded. We have to be on the same mission, and that's reaching people for God's honor and God's glory. And we have to learn to do it in humility. And lastly, number four, if you're going to build lasting relationships, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. Well, what is the mindset of Christ Jesus? The mindset of Christ Jesus when it comes to relationships can be summed up in John 15, 12, and 13. This is what he told his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How many know that God's love is far different than our love? Our love has conditions. God loves is eternal and unconditional. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, than he that lay his life down for his friends. Listen, church, when we lay our lives down for one another, we build security within our relationships. I want to end with the scripture that I opened up with, but I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation because I think it's heavy. Ecclesiastes 4, verse number 10, New Living Translation says this: if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? And this is the key. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time is Gladiator. Who's ever seen the movie Gladiator? Well, there's a scene in the movie where they're thrown in a stadium, and all around them, they're surrounded, and they start fighting separately. And they came to the realization that if I'm going to make it, stand up, Ever. They looked at each other, and they said, back to back, back to back. And as people attacked, come and attack us. You guys, come and attack us. Come and attack us. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. He was coming for me. He was coming for me. Come get me, Kenny. Come get me, Kenny. Come get me, Kenny. Hurry. Come on, Kenny. Come on. Come on. He's coming. He's coming. Come get me, Dad. Come get me. Come get me. We're standing back to back. Spiritually, that's what it should be like. But sadly, it's not always like that in the church. Sometimes some of you, you're fighting and you're over here or you're all alone. And you're fighting a good fight. But the one that knocked you down was the one you didn't see. And you're like, I was running a good race. I don't even know how I got here. But when you have genuine relationships within the church and you become vulnerable and you let people in, when you're attacked from the side you weren't looking at, or maybe you had a blind side and you had a friend that was fighting with you, the enemy can't attack you. And I would go out to say this. This year, we got to build a strong prayer ministry. We need to find the intercessors within the church, because whether you know it or not, your leaders, your pastors, were attacked daily. There was sometimes last year I didn't want to get out of bed. But I thank God for the intercessors and the prayer warriors of our church who didn't just show up, but that physically prayed for us and gave us words. We need to be there for each other, church. We need to love each other. We need to pray for each other. And we need to fight for each other's families. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.